Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in the studio, praise the Lord. We are studying from the book of Acts, which is Terrorized Bible Study, Tell It Well, which is beautiful. She just got it in a couple weeks ago. Yay!
Yay!
And last week, we Tara storied chapter 6, and the theme for this week, or the next couple weeks, is the walk of authenticity will increase the word of God.
Yeah, it is just so important. You know, that is the whole key, the whole premise behind this particular Bible study. And I've taught it now in many places. And a phrase that ended up coming out this last fall when I was teaching it was that this is a no-excuse Bible study.
I like that.
And this morning on the way to the radio station, I was thinking, really, it's a no-excuse mm-hmm. Bible study with a missional heart. Because the whole point behind what we as believers are to do, once we get past the help me, Lord, phase, really seriously and truly, right. There's different levels of what right. we need in Bible study. And we're in a phase when we're a new believer mm-hmm. or maybe we're just drawing back to God and, you know, where it's help me, Lord. And so we attend things that will help us grow.
Right.
This Bible study is intended for the one that says, okay, I'm ready to go.
Right.
That's what this is about. This is about maturing. Mm-hmm. This is about the meat of it. This is about getting out there and telling somebody what Christ has done for you, what the Bible says about Jesus, and proclaiming with boldness and telling to the best of your ability. And I love chapter 6. Because it leads us into chapter 7 and it introduces us to a man that is an incredible man of God named Stephen. And I'll just give a little hint. You know, essentially there was a conflict within the church and that the Grecian Jews, widows, weren't being properly taken care of. So they went to the apostles and said, we need help. The apostles listened and they said, okay, we need to gather 7 men that are equipped with full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom that are known by everybody because they have these qualities, and let them take that responsibility, because our responsibility is to pray and minister the word of God. And so the church was in agreement and they chose 7. They chose actually 7 Hellenistic Jews, and Stephen was one of the men. And they chose other men to be a part of it. Now, the cool thing is that Nicholas is a guy that they actually tell where he is from. Depending on some translations, I think it says Nicolai. And Nicholas, this is so interesting, they tell us he is from Antioch.
Mm.
And I thought, why did we get to know where he's from? What's the big deal?
Right.
Why did God think it's so important that we know Nicholas is from Antioch?
Right.
And then it gives us even a further description about Nicholas. It tells us that he was a Jewish convert. So he was actually a Gentile who converted to Judaism, who then converts to Christianity. So you can see the progression of how he is truly a God seeker. And so that was kind of a cool testimony. And Antioch is a place that they say is about 15 miles from the ocean, the water, not the ocean, from the sea. And it was a very fertile land. And it was a place that was considered to be the cradle of Gentile Christianity. So that phrase coming in that he is from Antioch is giving us a heads up about how the gospel that Jesus Christ came to die for all men is about to go outside of Jerusalem. Okay?
Oh.
It's a hint of what's coming.
Right.
And I love how God, he puts things out so that we can see it. And, you know, when I started asking the question, when I read scripture, why is this here? And then I start looking into, well, what is this place? Why is this place important? Who is this person? Why is this person important? It begins to unfold why God puts so many details in that oftentimes if we don't ask those kind of questions, we totally miss it.
Mm.
You know, it's a good way to help us understand it. So last week, we were talking in depth about this choosing of the 7 and the need and the importance behind it. And I really want us to hone in and focus in how the apostles handled this, because a walk of authenticity, what we're going to find, it will handle conflict quickly. Go
I
ahead,
have a
Serena.
Question before you start, sure. And I think you might have said this already.
All right, go
what
ahead
is the difference between an apostle and a disciple?
An apostle is defined as a person who actually was face-to-face and walked with Christ, saw Christ.
Oh, okay.
And a disciple is a follower of Christ, but an apostle is one that had an eyewitness, an encounter. So later on in Acts 9, Saul is allowed to call himself an apostle because Jesus encounters him on the road to Damascus. And so he had a face-to-face encounter with him. But the true definition of an apostle is a person who had face-to-face time.
Disciples, there was also disciples that were apostles.
Yes, but they chose the 12. They're the ones that tend to be named those. But yes,
okay.
Because I just read this morning, actually, Paul, and I can't remember where I was reading it. It may be in Acts 20, 21, chapter 20 or 21, I can't recall. I just do my normal daily Bible reading, and just happened to read this, and I had never caught this before, but he refers to the apostle, and I don't remember the man's name, but Junius, and that's a woman. And I had never heard of a woman being referred to that way, but the reason why she was given that title, it was because she was a person who walked and followed while Christ was walking on this earth. And that's why in his description, he went through and was, you know, the disciples, da-da-da-da-da, and the apostles, and I think the guy's name started with an A, and then Junius. I was like, huh, I had never caught that before, you know, and
oh.
So... he gave her that label because she had literally walked face-to-face with him. And so there is a difference. There was a reason why they delineated the difference.
Okay. Sorry to do a side note, but I'd always wondered that, and I didn't really ever know.
It's a very good question. A very good question.
Thank you.
In fact, because I read that this morning, it's like, you know, God, you know, should we even refer to ourselves as apostles today? Really, we're disciples, followers of Christ.
Right.
And I'm not dissing anyone in any way, shape, or form that might use that. It's just I had asked that question this morning because of my own reading. It's a good question. Hmm. But, okay, so let's look at that when we are walking with authenticity. I clarified at the beginning of this lesson. This lesson is about mature Christianity.
Hmm.
Okay? When an inner struggle comes, we are going to handle that conflict head on. Okay, it's not going to be, you know, oh, I don't want to face it. The attitude will not be, I'm going to ignore it. The attitude's not going to be, well, let's just pray about it, but never do anything. I want us to seriously slow down and examine how the apostles handled this because they just dealt with it. They didn't run from it. They listened to the question. The first thing that blew my mind, and it's hinted at, it's not said explicitly, but they listened. When somebody comes and files a complaint, they just listened. They're like, hey, our widows aren't being taken care of. And it says the 12 gathered all the disciples together, and they're like, okay, well, then we need to do something about it. And so they listened, but they didn't take it upon themselves to think that they should be the ones to completely handle this. They gathered the entire community, and they reasoned before the community, the body. And as they were dialoguing, they began to say, you know, well, we have to focus in on prayer and the teaching of the word. And as I was going over this morning, I read this prayer that I had written a long time ago. When I read this, I wrote, oh God, help me to get this order right. I pray, I devote myself to prayer and the ministry of the word.
Mm.
You know, it was prayer and the ministry of the word. You know, it's not one or the other. It is prayer and, mm-hmm. you know, they're together. That spirit of oneness of those two and keeping the line of communication with God the Father through his word as I'm praying through it and then dialoguing and giving it. You know, and so really focusing in to make sure I have that ministry of prayer and ministry of his word. And so they gathered the disciples, they got them all together and said, okay, let's reason on this. And they all were in agreement. They were all in agreement. Mm-hmm. And in the workbook, I give it to you in different translations so that each day you'll read a chapter in a different translation. And I love how, I think it was the Amplified, it said that they reasoned together on this. Let me see, it says, so the 12 apostles convened the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not seemly, listen to that, this is so cool the way it says, it's not seemly or desirable or right that we should have to give up or neglect preaching the word in order to attend to serving tables and superintending distribution of food. And then, therefore, select out from among you, brethren, 7 men of good attested character and repute, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, whom we may assign to look after this business and duty. I love how different translations worded.
Mm-hmm, and, so do I.
I was thinking that one said the word reason, but I don't think it was. Maybe it was in the Message. Let me see if it was in the Message. It says, let us reason, because that was the key word that I wanted us to get. In the Message, it says it wouldn't be right for us to abandon our responsibilities. And so it doesn't say that they reason. Maybe then it was the King James. But anyhow, one of the translations, I'm sorry about that. I'm taking you on a tangent there. One of the translations takes the word in the reasoning. And, you know, when somebody comes at us with a conflict, what's the first thing that comes out of you? I mean, or maybe it doesn't even have to come out of your mouth. What happens inside you? What's the first reaction?
Oh, how funny you ask. I think it starts stirring up emotions almost to pick a side.
Okay.
That's kind of what.
I really like the way you said that. A stirring up of emotions.
Yeah.
They could have easily allowed a stirring up of emotions to happen. And what we're going to find, and your choice of words are awesome, considering that in the chapter, when the conflict comes from outside the church, it says specifically that they stirred up because they're stirring up emotions against Stephen. And we have to make that choice that when there is a stirring of the emotion to hold back and allow mind, the reasoning, to logically walk us through it. Now, I say that to you knowing specifically that I probably fell at least 100 times, I feel like, this week and that. I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
This week was a tough week for me in allowing my mind to take over my emotion. And that happens whenever I don't feel well. I don't reason as well if I feel low. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah.
It just plays a role in it.
Or at any time you're doing a conference or anything. Stressed. Spiritual warfare, just stress. Yes. Yeah.
Ouch, God. Out, that part of that growing, that maturing, helping us to mature. And this is a biblical example of maturity and handling conflict. Mm-hmm. Now, they made the suggestion, let's choose the 7. And we talked about that they chose the Hellenistic Jews. And when they prayed and they put hands, they had great favor on these guys, you know, and just the blessing that comes. And in another week, we will talk about the laying on the hands, okay? And then they prayed over them. And this is so important. I have a good friend that she is going to be a missionary in Ghana. And she was telling me that when the church did the commissioning service, that she, and this is actually, I think, on day, I actually talk about the story in day four of the workbook. Day five. She's on day five. And when she was preparing to go to Ghana, her church had her come in and they, you know, shared with what she was doing. They put hands on her. They laid hands in praying. And she said, you know how when somebody is engaged and they just look at that mate and they think, wow, I can't believe he chose me or she chose me. How did I get picked?
Right.
She said that as the church was praying over her, that she was just thinking, Lord, how is it that you chose me? How did I get picked? How did I get this blessing that I get to be the one? And she said it was such an incredible, humbling experience and such an affirming experience as the hands were laid on her that she was just overwhelmed. mm-hmm. by the affirmation to what she felt called to do. The laying on hands biblically signifies, I'll use a big word, commissioning, a validation of what God has called someone to do. Because remember, last week I told you that these men, these seven men, were men full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit, but they were known to be full of these things before they were ever chosen. It's not like, you know, oh, he just started acting that way so he could be chosen. These were men that were already walking with integrity in these areas, and it was recognized in them. And so it's a recognition of mm-hmm. what already is happening in this person's life. I can remember when I was young, somebody saying to me, if you really want to do something and that's your goal, then do it. And eventually it'll be recognized that's what you are. And in particular, for me, it was writing. Since a little girl, I have written poems and mm-hmm. everything else. I've always wanted to write. And I never felt like I could even call myself a writer. And even today, I still hold back thinking, I'm not a writer. You know, I've got so much to learn. But that person's wisdom in high school, when they said that, and I don't even remember who it was, I thought, okay, well, I will just do it, you know. And then from there, eventually, somehow it'll happen. And I don't know when, at what point in my life it occurred that I was seen as a writer by somebody other than myself trying to be one. Mm. But eventually it happened. And that's the way it should be with us in our Christian walk. If there is an area that we feel that God is calling us to do, then we need to move forward and full of the Spirit and full of wisdom and actions in that area serving. And it'll be recognized eventually. You know, that person is in this area, that it'll be made known who we are and what we do. I know Sabrina can recognize that with her own worship, leading in worship. It's just amazing how God unveils that. And they did that. The other thing that happens when they laid their hands on them, it is a granting of authority. The apostles, the men who had walked with Christ. And by putting their hands upon these seven, it's saying, by essentially the powers vested in me, kind of using the wedding terms, we grant you the right to do what we're asking you to do, and we place you in a position of authority. And so it is a recognition of validation of what God has already revealed. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Now, we're glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We want you to come back because we're going to talk more about these seven. And we're going to start getting into the conflict of what happens outside the church and how Stephen handles it and how it brings about an increase to the Word of God. God bless.